drift in and out. But there's some important similarities between the passage from 1 Samuel and the passage from Luke chapter 2, in that both Samuel and Jesus both grew in stature and in standing with God and among men, right? So there's that unique kind of similarity there. They were growing in the church. But of course, we've been working through this series, Prepare the Way. Today, our theme is search. And so I have to ask you, have you ever used Google? I mean, it's probably a bit of a silly question, and given the fact that some of you laughed, just some, that was a good joke, I was kidding. It's probably a bit of a silly question, but even if you don't use Google on a regular basis, there's probably something that you searched for either on the internet or using your phone or just at one point in time, or heck, even you maybe have gone to the library and broken out the card catalog and searched. Now, they aren't even using those anymore, right? Now, you even search there on the computer. But I don't know about you, but I usually feel pretty good when I find the right answer, when I find what I'm looking for. There's a sense of accomplishment. But searching isn't always about finding information or answers. Sometimes it's about finding the right way to go. One of my first jobs out of high school, I used to deliver flowers for Royers over on North Queen Street in Lancaster City. And when we would get in there and we'd start our day, I was doing deliveries. I wasn't putting the arrangements together. Please. I was delivering flowers. Let me be clear. So I used to run deliveries for them, and what we would do at the beginning of the day is put together all of our routes. And this was before the advent of GPS, right? We talked about that the other night. Before GPS, we had map books, and we would look up streets, and we'd be like on page 34, grid F9, right? And we would go there, and we'd map it out and figure out where that is. And so we would take all of our deliveries for the day and we would put all of the cards in order. And we had the map books in the trucks and we would follow that route. So there was something to be said for searching for the right way to go, too, because we wanted to make that run be as efficient as possible or take as long as possible, depending on what day it was. And what runs we didn't want to do. There was always a few that you didn't want to do. So those were the days where that morning run just took an extra hour. And by the time you got back, the other guys had already taken the run you didn't want, right? But sometimes it's about finding another way. For those that have grown up in the church, it can be a unique experience. People who've grown up in the church find that they know the way, right? We're taught the way from early on. And so don't really question necessarily what is right, but often find that they don't have all the answers to the questions when people ask them, because you just know that Jesus is Lord, and that's all you need to know. It's like when you're a child and you listen to the pastor during the child's sermon, he asks you a question, you know the answer is always Jesus. Right? If the pastor asks a question, it's Jesus. Boy, I thought that, man. I know it's cold out, and I know we're just after Christmas, but I felt like there was a little more energy in the room today. But for those who grew up outside the church, it may be a bit of a different story, right? Outside the church, there's often a feeling of something that's missing. There's a searching for something that you can't find, and there's like a general dissatisfaction with life, an emptiness that really you can't ever seem to fill. A lot of time is spent searching for something to fill that emptiness, and depending on your upbringing, well, that search can maybe sometimes lead you down some dark pathways. Then there are even some people who grew up in the church but spent their time out there and know the right way but don't necessarily want to go that way and spend their time searching for something else. But the point is that we all spend time searching for something. But the thing is now we know what we should be seeking, what we should be searching for. Of course, in our gospel lesson today, interesting story from the Bible. It's really the only story in the Bible that we get where we see Jesus any time between when he's born and when he's baptized and starts his earthly ministry. It's the only time we see Jesus as basically a boy. And I'm sure that some of us can relate, right? Because what the story we have here is that they're in Jerusalem and they're heading home and they're traveling and they just assume that Jesus is with them. Anybody ever have their kid just wander off? I'm sure we can all relate to that feeling. How does that feel? The bottom drops out of your stomach, right, when they disappear. And yeah, I'm looking at you back there, buddy. The bottom drops out of your stomach when they disappear. And I imagine that Mary and Joseph felt kind of the same way and probably felt more than a little bad because they had already walked a day without noticing that Jesus wasn't there. It's like Home Alone, right? They all get in the van, they go to the airport, and they're flying to France before they realize that he's still back at the house. It's kind of like that. And I know when occasionally, and I'm going to use this as an example. But I know that when we're in a public place and I get that feeling like I can't find him, that feeling is horrible. It's just an awful feeling. But I also know the feeling that I get when I find him. What's our initial reaction? Happiness, right? What's the next one? I imagine it's a lot like Mary and Joseph. Where were you? Why would you do this? You heard the question in there. Mary says, why would you do this to me? Right? Why would you disappear like that? But Jesus' answer is a little bit different. He knew what he was looking for. And he figured that they should know pretty much right where he'd be. I'm in my Father's house. This is where I belong, he said. We get the impression from this passage that Jesus expects that they would have known to look for him in the temple, right? That given that it's God's house, he expected them to know him well enough to search for him there in the temple. Now, where then should we be searching for Jesus? Now, I'm not going to be telling you that you should be searching for him in every church or even a specific church, though. This is a pretty good one. Because we have some great context today from that passage from, not a passage that we heard today, but a passage from 2 Timothy. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit now. I'm going to get a little serious here. Not every church that's out there is teaching about Jesus Christ, or at least the Jesus Christ that we should know. I need to be a little bit serious about there. There are churches out there right now that have, quite frankly, abandoned the truth of the gospel for comfortable Christianity that doesn't demand anything of anybody and is wholly focused on making people feel good about being Christians. Not demanding more of them, not showing them that there's more to the walk, not showing them that faith is a journey, not a destination, that when we become Christians, that's when it just begins. They're not asking people to change. See, one of the things that we remember today in baptism, we recognize baptism as what? An outward sign of an inward change. A lot of churches aren't looking for people to make an inward change. All right, so one of the things that we should be doing is looking for places that expect an inward change, that expect someone to demand more of themselves, that expect someone to dig deeper into their faith and not just accept the surface answers, and especially not to say, oh, well, that made me feel good about being a Christian, so I can go home today because I feel good. There's more to the Christian life than going to church and going home. More so even, we don't need to be embarrassed to serve a God that demands more of us. God expects that we're going to know where to look for him, and that we ought to know where to look. This is the lesson we can take away from Jesus today. We ought to know where to look. Just like Jesus expected of his earthly parents, finding him requires that we know him. And Jesus, in Scripture, multiple times reminds us that his sheep are going to know his voice. When we're talking about prayer, and I love the fact that United Methodist Women is going to be working on that piece on prayer, because one of the things that we do in a practice of prayer is we learn to hear God. It is possible for people to hear God speak and not be crazy. Amen? I want to make this clear. It is possible to hear God speak and not be crazy. It's possible to understand the sound of God's voice and know it so familiar, just be so familiar with the sound of God's voice that when God speaks to you, you know that God is speaking to you. There's a great example that I get from a lot of the pastors that have traveled to the Holy Land. Someday I'm hoping to make this journey. But often their tour includes a bus trip to the country where there's somebody tending a flock of sheep near the side of the road, and they're all, get off the bus, we're going to go talk to the shepherd. And they talk to the shepherd, and the shepherd teaches them the command to summon the sheep, right, to call them in. And they usually pull a couple of pastors out of the crowd, and they say, okay, you try, here's the word. And nothing, nothing, nothing. The sheep don't even budge. They don't even look. And then finally, the shepherd just whispers the word to tell the sheep to come. And the whole flock turns and heads right to him. And see, that's the difference between knowing the voice of the shepherd and knowing or not. We can know when God is speaking to us or not, but we practice that. And we ought to be seeking him in places that teach us to do that. I don't want to come off as overly serious or negative. And I know I'm getting into some stuff here that can feel that way. God asks a lot of us as a part of searching for a relationship with him. I gotta move this thing again. That button thing, it's almost working. But here's the thing, faith can be an odd dichotomy. Jesus tells us that his burden is light, while also telling us that living to the spirit of the law is our goal. Love God, love one another. But that's actually a pretty steep order, isn't it? When we see the law and we understand the law in the Bible, we know that God asks a lot for perfection. And the perfection is impossible for us without Christ. And so when we live to that spirit of the law, when we desire to live to that spirit of the law, it means that we're demanding more of ourselves all the time. It means that we have this check that we always have this box that we have to check when we're dealing with somebody else. Am I treating them the way Christ would want me to treat them? Am I living to the spirit of the law? Am I treating them like they're my neighbor? Am I treating them like I would want to be treated? If I can check that box, then I'm doing okay. But see, the goal is not checking the box. The goal is wanting to do that and making that our nature, making that our habit. One of the things that we should be searching for in that is peace. Now, in our passage from Colossians today, we see things that we should be seeking, right? Compassion, kindness, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, as it were, being there for one another. And this is done by letting the word of Christ dwell within us, seeking to find Jesus in everything that we do while giving thanks to God. Now, if we seek to be peacemakers in our lives, this is our approach. These are the tools that we use, the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. If we seek to be disciples of Christ, and that's one of the things that we were just talking about this morning. If we seek to be disciples of Christ, we have quite a journey ahead of us. But it is a journey that leads to peace in our own lives and certainly to a wonderful and amazing eternity. Because it doesn't end here. Amen? My amen is to check and make sure that you're still awake. But here's the thing. It's a wonderful thing to aspire to. It's our goal. We want to dwell with God eternally. How do we do that? Love and serve Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Love God, love one another. Right? Fairly simple process, but when we dig a little bit deeper, when we start to get in there, it becomes a little more challenging. So we have to search, we have to learn. And so that our encouragement. How do we encourage ourselves and one another to do this? And God's word also tells us that if we seek, we shall what?
Receive.
Find. Receive. Yes. When we seek, we find, especially when it comes to God. Now, this should embolden us. This should make us more aggressive about searching for Christ. There's a passage that always has thrown me in Scripture where Christ talks about the kingdom of heaven is always under assault by violent men, right? I read this, and violent men take it. And when you dig into that passage a little bit deeper, what it's talking about is persistence. It's not about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is overcome by violent people. People who aggressively pursue the kingdom are people who get into the kingdom. Let me say that again. People who aggressively pursue entrance into God's kingdom are the people who get into God's kingdom. We need to aggressively pursue, aggressively search, constantly be searching, growing, moving towards Christ. And how do we do that? Well, what are some of the words that we just read a little while ago? I asked a question of what it means to be a member in the church. Will you faithfully participate in ministry through prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? And we all answered, I will. Just saying. Those are not light vows, but those words are a guidebook to us to know what we have to do, what we should be doing, how we should be searching. Those are our encouragements. So we can take comfort in the notion that we're not alone. Hello, we took those vows as a body of Christ today. We're not alone in our search for Christ. From a biblical perspective, though, we see the search for Jesus begin when we take it back to Scripture, right? Just with the season that we're in, we see the search for Christ begin with the wise men, right? And scripturally, we see it culminate with the disciples in the early church. Now, historically, that's really just the beginning of the church and what exploded into global church growth. Now, we search for Christ today as a family of faith together. The search for Christ in our lives is one that we all take on. And over the last two years, I've heard more than a few people say that they don't feel like they know their Bible all that well, right? Well, I got to tell you, just like I've discovered throughout my course into ministry, and I remember saying these words just recently, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Was it Moses ready to lead the people out of Egypt when God called him? No. Was Abraham ready to be the father of all nations when he was still called Abram and Sarai? And they had no concept of who God was or understanding or really any kind of deep faith. Was Abraham ready for that? No. And we look, was Simon ready when he got out of the boat that day and Jesus said, hey, how's it going? I'm going to make you fisher of men. Well, I'm pretty sure that he went through an identity crisis and became a completely different person. Certainly, we see Saul become somebody entirely different, a man who persecuted Christians, saw them killed, tortured, murdered, only to become one of the biggest proponents of Christ in this world. And the reason that we have the deep understanding of Christ that we have today is that, oh, I would say about that much of the Bible can be attributed to one author. See, the search for Christ doesn't end at the beginning. And so I want to encourage you to, you don't have to know now. The search is only just beginning. You don't have to know now. The wise men didn't know who Christ was when they saw the star. They had to journey to find him, to fully understand what all the plans were and all the machinations were that around what was happening with Herod, to only return to Herod and say what? Sorry. Right? Empty-handed. Not going to tell you where he's at. Right? The search doesn't end at the beginning. The search only just starts. But we're here for one another in that search. I want to encourage you today to seek answers to your questions. You don't have to be embarrassed about having a question. You don't have to be embarrassed about not understanding an aspect of the faith. Let me tell you, I was terrified a few weeks ago when I was in my licensing review. They asked me some questions and I was just like, my brain went blank. I'm not going to put you through that. And here's the other thing, God isn't going to put you through that, because there's one thing that you need to know. The journey starts with Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't end there. Well, it kind of starts and ends there, but in the middle is where we are right now. You don't have to be afraid of not knowing. That's where faith comes into play. But God wants you to learn more. He wants you to draw closer. He wants us to fellowship together. He wants us to gather together each week. He wants us to learn. He wants us to do all of these things in ministry and discipleship together. And so the search is really where the story's at. Our best stories, our best testimonies as Christians come from our search, right? We don't hear the stories of the people in the Bible who knew exactly what they were doing, but we hear the stories of their search. All right, let me put some context to that. When we think about Moses, Well, we got the background on Moses from the very beginning, but the story of Moses' search into who he was began when he killed the Egyptian guard and ran off into the desert. That's when Moses' search actually began. And it was rekindled when he saw a burning bush. And yet his journey wasn't done. The search wasn't over. He's finding who he is the whole time he's working to see the captives released from Egypt on God's behalf. Right? And then even when they're out in the desert and they've headed to Mount Sinai and Moses is still searching, am I still the right person? And he receives the Ten Commandments. Still searching. Moses' search doesn't end until he's on a hillside looking into the promised land that he'll never be allowed to enter. Right? Our search is much, much bigger than we think it could possibly be. And there's so many exciting things that can happen as part of it. And so we just need to remember where to look. We talked about that today. Fellowship, prayer, service, witness. Right? That's where we look. That's where we find Christ. God isn't concerned about making sure that people are necessarily happy in the world terms. Seek Christ in the truth of his word, fellowship with other Christians, spending time in prayer, and certainly in service. And you will find him. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, let us stand together. And you know what? We